This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because mm-hmm. they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here, ready to play. Phone calls, welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Operator Tyler standing by. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. Tonight, Knicks at the Heat, the Warriors at the Lakers. In case you're wondering, for entertainment purposes only, DraftKings has the betting lines, the Knicks getting 4.5, the Warriors getting 3. Basketball yesterday and last night, it was the Nuggets losing to the Suns, and there's a controversial moment there that we'll talk about here coming up. But the 76ers and Celtics are tied at 2 games apiece. The Heat up 2-1 on the Knicks, the Lakers up 2-1 on the Warriors. Seton, you got a poll question to start out with. We say good morning to those watching on Peacock, our streaming partner. Download the app if you haven't done that. You can watch for free. Also, a radio affiliate, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and approaching 390 cities in America carrying this program. Yes, Seton O'Connor?
Well, we might as well get right into it then, Dan. All right. Who should be punished more for the incident in the Suns game?
Okay.
Nikola Jokic or Suns owner Matt Ishbia?
All right. If you didn't see it, this is how it sounded on TNT last night.
As Phoenix turns it over, boy, Jokic, a little bit of contact. Boy, that potentially could get dangerous.
I think Jokic was just trying to get the basketball from the crowd, and crowd a little upset about that. And
boy, right in the area where Suns owner Matt Ishbia is seated, just to our left in that corner, as security quickly trying to step in and defuse the situation.
A little bad boy action there from Matt Ishbia from Detroit.
Depending on your vantage point, you probably saw it two different ways. I did at first. I'm thinking, okay, Jokic is going into the crowd. He's trying to get the ball. They won't give him the ball back. And then there's a fan that kind of gets close to him, and then he pushes him away, elbows him away, a chicken wing away. And then we realize that that's the Suns owner, the new Suns owner, who's had a great month, a great 6 weeks. And he's there courtside. Isaiah Thomas is there with him as his guest. And now all of a sudden it takes on a whole different look, because now you got Jokic going into the stands. You got the owner involved in it. The owner's role in this. The Joker got a technical here. And now we wonder, is the Joker going to be available for game 5 back in Denver? What happens with the commissioner with this, with an owner involved in this? Now, no punches are thrown. I thought that Matt Ishbia was kind of flopping. He's a former player at Michigan State, and probably well-trained at taking those flops in practice. But, you know, he's courtside, and it felt like he was moving in on the Joker a little bit and holding the ball. I think if he looks at that, he's going to come away being embarrassed by that, because you never should have been involved in it. And you're the owner. You know, if that was another fan, that fan gets tossed. And I think there was a fan next to the owner who did get tossed, who put his hand on Jokic. I think if the Joker wanted to actually send a message with an elbow to the owner, he could have done that. But he didn't know that that was the owner and didn't care afterwards. Here is Jokic after the game.
The fan put a hand on me first, so I thought the league's supposed to protect us or whatever, so, but maybe I'm wrong, so we will see.
Did you happen to know who the fan was?
He's a fan, isn't he? If he's a sitting senior.
Phoenix Suns owner.
Sitting on the court, and he's a fan, isn't he?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that he's a, so whoever it is, and he's a fan, he cannot influence the game by holding the ball.
He's factually correct that he is a fan, and he did hold the ball. And it almost felt like, hey, this is my team, my building, and I'm with my guys, and maybe you're starting to feel yourself a little bit there. They did put their hands on Jokic. So you have to protect the player. First and foremost, you have to protect the player. The fact that it's an owner, I think that makes the matter worse for the owner. If it's a fan, then you go, okay, fan maybe in his cups there and feeling, you know, got some beer muscles and, hey, you know, the Joker just came over here, I'm on TV. But that's the owner. And then you flop back, throw his arms back, and I'm going, that's not a good look here. And then doling out punishment here, I would certainly have an issue. I would fine Matt Ishbia pretty heavily as an owner, but I don't know if you can. Are they going to suspend Jokic? That would be, I hope not, whether it was a regular season or game seven. You know, I would hope that they wouldn't for something like that, but this commissioner is a player friendly commissioner. But I mean, your bosses are the owners, so it's a tricky situation there. But I don't know if they're going to, and it takes away from what was a great game, great performances last night. I mean, Devin Booker is having an all-time playoff appearances so far. Incredible what he's doing, and efficient. I got some numbers here on him, and Joker put up 53 last night. I think that's the most points ever scored in a regulation loss in NBA playoff history. So he put up 53 last night. Devin Booker now has 83 points over the last two games. And only two players in the last 50 years have scored at least 75 points and shot better than 75% from the field over a two-game period. Booker and LaMarcus Aldridge of the 2016 Spurs. But Booker is 34-43. He's shooting 79% from the floor the last two games.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Discover Credit Cards sponsor us this hour, and they do something pretty incredible. They automatically double all the cash back you've earned, doubled from trips and restaurants. That's the first year. They double it back, and you can see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Did anybody see it differently than I did with the owner and Joker last night? No, you guys saw it the same way I did, Seton?
Yeah, I mean, an owner should never make themselves part of the game or part of the story like that. You know, that's I just feel like it's a really bad look for Matt Ishbia. Yeah, I think if Jokic really wanted to push somebody, it would have been a lot worse than that.
Yes.
And yeah, I think the commissioner's going to have to find the owner there.
Yes, Todd.
Yeah, like, why are you holding on to the ball? Just let go of the ball and just let things move on. That's where it escalated. If he would have just stopped playing the, you know, you can't take the ball from me, I'll decide when I'm going to release the ball from my possession.
Well, I also, there's something else that's lost in the play. There's a player who goes, you know, kind of falling out of bounds, a Suns player. And then I think the owner's trying to help him up, and there's a lot of people around. And then Joker wants to get the ball to put it back in play. And that's when the owner's holding the ball. Somebody puts his hand on Joker. And then all of a sudden, you know, then it could have gotten ugly. But, and maybe because it was an owner, it didn't get as ugly if it had been a fan. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, I agree with you guys almost all of it. You know, Jokic didn't go into the fan in the stands. The stands kind of went into Jokic. And they were starting to put their hands on him. And he kind of gave that kind of get off me chicken wing. What I didn't understand is initially when the ball, Ishbia has the ball, why Jokic ran over to grab it and grabbed it like it was soccer and they're trying to get it back in to score a goal. You know, they're out of bounds. There's not any rush to get that ball back. It's going to come back at some point. It's almost like he grabbed it and Ishbia was like, whoa, what? Why is he grabbing this from me? You know, he kind of ran to him and grabbed it.
Yeah, but he's more entitled to it than the owner is.
Totally. Totally. But I was just, when I first saw, I was like, why is he running to get the ball? Anyone can get the ball.
Well, I think that the official is going to wait till the player gets up. So you're going to resume play. I don't think it's, you know, soccer where you just grab it and then you want to throw it in. But it felt like that's what Joker was trying to do. Like, let me get this ball in. Yeah, Paul.
Is there any hard rule? Remember, if you go back years ago, coming off the bench gets you automatic suspension. Mm. Is there any rule Jokic may have broken where it would be automatic and the commissioner's hands are tied? Making contact with a fan. Or, here's a side part of that. Do not treat Ishbia as a fan because he didn't pay for a ticket and he's not a fan. He is actually treated differently because if this was an assistant coach, almost like a two-part question there.
I think if you're going to suspend him, you'll suspend him because he had an elbow. He can I say he threw an elbow? If he wanted to throw an elbow, he could have. I think he was maybe just getting some separation there with the chicken wing. Like, get out of here, okay? Get off me. Yes, Eden.
Right. Everybody saying elbow to me is off a little bit. He pushed a fan back with his forearm.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't elbow him. He pushed a fan back with his forearm. Get out of here. The owner, Matt Ishbia, 100% caused the entire incident.
Yeah, you start to parse this out, you take that, and then you take that, and then you take that, and then you put it all together, and then contact and touching, and then throwing out somebody, a technical for Joker, the owner's role. You know, I would love to know how this plays out with the commissioner today.
Man, I would be so embarrassed. If that was me on video doing that, I would be humiliated today.
The owner.
The owner, yeah. I would be humiliated.
Well, I would think if I'm the commissioner, I have a stern message, no pun intended, for this owner to say, we're not part of the game here. Like, you're there, you want to sit there courtside, you got to know how to handle it. You're the owner. You can't be holding a basketball. You can't be, hey, look at me, I'm the owner. I'm defending our turf here. Against the Joker, yeah, Paul.
But it's tough because Matt Ishbia is only punishable financially, or they don't let him sit for the rest of the series courtside. That doesn't affect their team. You know, if somehow Matt Ishbia holding that ball gets Jokic suspended the game, the Suns win.
Yeah.
And the local fans will be like, he'll be a hero for his dumb movement.
Yeah. So what's the poll question we're going to go with, Seton? Who should be punished or...
Yeah, well, we could do two options. I have who should be punished more for the incident or who caused the incident. Oh. But I think...
Is that the same? It felt like the owner caused this.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did Joker escalate it? And that might be what the commissioner's going to look at.
At some point, though, like the league, they do have a responsibility to... I know you have to protect the fans from players... But the players need a certain amount of protection, too. I do agree with them that they shouldn't. There's no world in which they should be fighting with a fan to get the ball back to start playing the game again.
Yeah, he doesn't.
That's ridiculous.
The owner doesn't need to be a tough guy there. He doesn't need to play a role whatsoever. You're the owner. Be professional. Yeah, Marv.
And if you're Adam Silver, how irritated are you? Because last night was such a great game.
I know.
We're... we're kind of talking about how great Devin Booker's been and how great Jokic was, but now this is the lead story because of the owner.
Well, until the punishment's handed out, you know, people are going to talk because you're going to speculate what could happen. When does that, discipline or extra punishment come down? Yeah, Todd.
I think it's mainly on the owner, too. But was at any point Joker feeling like he was in danger? I guess maybe in the heat of the moment, you don't know if someone's about to grab you or hit you or whatever. But in that moment, did he really need to give him that forearm shiver?
Well, I don't think that I don't think he felt endangered, but like, why is somebody touching me?
Yeah, but he's talking post-game about safety, and I thought they're supposed to have our back and security and make sure the players are safe. So I don't know what was unsafe at that moment where we had to knock him down there and give him a little floor.
Well, you shouldn't be able to touch the players. You shouldn't be able to come to the player and touch the player. It's not like Joker went into the stand so they couldn't help but, you know, put their hands on him. Here is the head coach of the Nuggets, Mike Malone, on the incident.
Yeah, I'm still not really sure what happened. I haven't seen a video of it. I think it's crazy that Nikola got a technical foul in that situation. He's going to get the ball, and some fan is holding on to the ball like he wants to be a part of the game. Just give the ball up, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, they deemed Nikola doing something that was excessive, I guess, and they gave him the tech, but I still don't really understand it.
You think the fans, the owner of the Suns, made any difference?
I don't give a shit. I mean, I really don't care.
It makes it worse because it's the owner. If it's a fan, I get it. Hey, look at me. I'm on TV. Hey, Joker's over here in my face. Oh, he just pushed me. You're the owner. And you grew up loving the Bad Boys. And you got Isaiah Thomas next to you. But, it was like you're in high school or college and you're going to, take a charge. He flopped there. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments, where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of BF Goodrich tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, see their BF Goodrich test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. The all-electric EQS sedan from Mercedes-Benz is luxury and innovation on a truly magnificent scale. It's not just the flagship of the Mercedes-Benz electric lineup. It sets a whole new standard for all luxury electric vehicles. You're going to marvel at this epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen featuring self-upgrading next-generation AI and a beautiful, intuitive interface for both driver and front seat passenger. You'll experience next-level comfort in an exquisite spacious, near-silent cabin that makes this flagship feel more like you're piloting a spaceship. And you'll appreciate the graceful aerodynamic design that almost completely eliminates drag for an outstanding operating range of up to 350 miles on a single charge. The EQS is an object lesson in just how far electric mobility has come. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Take a test drive. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQS. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here ready to go on this Monday. Best and worst of the weekend, your opportunity to be part of the program. Dial us up. You can email, tweet, all the above. Operator, the birthday boy, Tyler, standing by. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Spent a lot of time first hour talking about what happened last night as the Suns even the series with the Nuggets. But more importantly, how the league and the commissioner reacts, if he does, with the Joker and the owner of the Phoenix Suns, Matt Ishbia. And this is difficult because if you watch it, you can say both played a role and the owner should never be involved. So I have to treat him like a fan, but I also, the punishment is harsher because he's an owner. Because at first you didn't know. I wasn't aware. That's where Matt Ishbia sits. But when Joker goes into the stands and he wants the ball, and there's a little bit of a skirmish there because one of the Phoenix Suns goes, you know, careening out of off the court into the stands. But the owner is holding the basketball. Okay, like, you know, when you're taller than your brother and you hold it up and he can't get it. I mean, he's holding the ball, and he's the owner. And I think the commissioner comes down pretty hard on Matt Ishbia. I don't know if he suspends Joker. I mean, that's really what this series is going to come down to, probably this decision. Because if Denver somehow survives, goes back, wins game five, then they're probably going to win this series. But if he gets suspended, Phoenix wins in Denver, then Phoenix is going to win this series. Also, you know, you're watching Phoenix and they're playing at a different pace because they don't have Chris Paul. Chris Paul is out because of the groin injury. And it's almost become a positive, which is strange to say, with Chris Paul, one of the great point guards of all time. But even if he's healthy when he comes back, is he going to start? Do you want him to start? It almost feels like they're playing at a different speed, and it's been successful. Certainly for Durant and Booker, you got some help from the bench. Landry Shamet had 19 points. They got to get somebody to help him out. But Devin Booker is playing at an all-time high. His efficiency is historical because he's gone 34 for 43 from the floor. He's shooting 79% over the last two games. And these are must-win situations here. And playing, you know, when Kevin Durant is the third best offensive player on the floor, man, there's some pretty good offensive performances. Joker had 53 in a loss, the most points in a postseason game that was in regulation, didn't go into overtime. That's the most ever scored in a loss, 53, I believe. So Joker, and we'll... I don't know when you dole out that punishment. I don't know what is involved. I'm going to guess the commissioner is on the phone or has been on the phone with the owner of the Phoenix Suns. And then you're going to look at the video there with Jokic. It's an elbow. It's almost like a clearing elbow. Not, I want to hurt you. But it's basically like, get off me. Joker doesn't know that's the owner of the Phoenix Suns. He said he's a fan. Like, I don't know. I don't care. Mike Malone, the Nuggets head coach, said he's a fan. I don't care if he's the owner or not. It makes it worse because he is the owner, I think. All right, that was our poll question. Seton, would you give the exact wording there?
Who should be punished more for the incident at the Suns game. Right. And right now, it's not even close. Matt Ishbia is running away with it.
Yay, congratulations.
Some people are asking, too, in the replies here, that if this was, say, Draymond Green, would it be different?
Well, but he does have priors.
He does, yeah.
And that's why he got suspended, because he had priors, and the NBA said that. Yeah, it would be different. Probably so. Yeah, Paul.
What would the response be if this were Mark Cuban, who has a past, not a physical past in any way, but a past of fines and other things? Would Mark Cuban be treated different than any other owner, or be the same?
I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning is, the logic is with any of this stuff. And, you know, has Cuban baited players before? Now, he's been on the court. He's very active. He's been fined numerous times, but this is where it gets a little tricky when you do hypotheticals. Like, I don't know what would happen if it was Draymond. I don't know what would happen with Mark Cuban, because this is about Joker and this is about Matt Ishbia. Nobody else. Because if you go, well, what if this was, it doesn't make any sense to do that. What if this was LeBron? Like, I don't, this is what it is right now, right in front of us. This is the decision that's going to be made based off what we saw and who they are. Pete Davidson is everywhere, and now that includes Bubkus, a new semi-autobiographical comedy series on Peacock. Edie Falco, Joe Pesci are in Bubkus, streaming now only on Peacock. By the way, I was watching at the end of the movie Casino last night, and it doesn't end well for Joe Pesci. They get taken out into a cornfield. Where is there a cornfield near the Strip in Las Vegas? That was the first thing I thought is, did they drive to Iowa? But they are out there in a cornfield, and then that's where they bury him. Yes, Paul.
That is a great point. I never thought about that before, because they're clearly in Vegas. Now, the bosses back home are in Kansas City in the movie Casino. I don't know if Kansas City is a hotbed of corn activity, but maybe more likely there.
I mean, why would you go that far?
For a meeting.
Yes, Marv.
Yeah, do they maybe meet halfway between Las Vegas and Kansas City? Like, hey, we're driving. Hey, we'll meet right here.
Well, when I think Albuquerque, I don't think combines and corn. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I didn't know that they had cornfields in Vegas or outside of Vegas.
I don't know. The gist of the story is he made Joe Pesci watch his brother get killed.
Yes, he did.
I was like, ooh.
Yes, he did.
No, Dom.
By the way, Knicks at the Heat tonight. We're talking about the Heat. And then the Warriors will be at the Lakers after what we saw in Game 3, where everybody played well for the Lakers. It wasn't, hey, if AD plays well, you're going to win. Everybody played well. Golden State kind of shut it down early in the second half. And now they're only, the Warriors are 3-point underdogs here. Yeah, Paul.
I hate to change back topics, but I found a number of cornfields in Nevada, not so much in the Las Vegas area.
Okay.
But in other areas of Nevada, there are corn mazes and cornfields.
Okay.
Pretty shocked by that.
All right. We learned something.
That's a tough scene, man.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Yeah. That is a tough scene.
Yes, it is. I'm watching Bull Durham last night. You know, it's interesting when you have kids and then you're telling them about movies that you really love and that you need to watch this. Like, you got to watch Hoosiers. And then you're sitting there, and I have three daughters and my son, and I have two daughters at home this weekend. And then my wife says, we should watch, and she has a list of movies that they should be watching. And, we watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and my kids were like, what's the big deal? We don't get it. Like, he's a jerk, and he got off from school, and he got in a parade. And I go, All right, you're not seeing what I'm seeing, but that's okay. So I said, how about Bull Durham? And they go, is it sad? I go, no. Is it scary? I go, no, it's about baseball. But it's really about love. It's a relationship. And they're watching, and I could tell, when they start to check their phones, and I go, no phones. And they're like, okay. And so they begrudgingly slogged through it. And I said, all right, so you watched it. Pretty good. And then, their common opinion was, the guy, Bull Durham, he's handsome. And I go, okay, that's what we're taking away from Bull Durham? It's like, yeah. And he's a pretty good baseball player, right? And I go, yeah. He played a little college baseball, I think. But it's not about sports. It's like Hoosiers is not about sports. It's about relationships. But yeah,
did they not like it? Were they bland about it?
Okay, what happens is if you build up the movie and then you watch it and then you're like, they would rather find that movie, like The Sting. You know, they start watching the movie The Sting with Robert Redford, Paul Newman, and they're like, have you watched The Sting before? I go, yeah, it's a great movie. I go, yes, but if I had told you to watch The Sting, you'd be like, oh, I don't know. Sting's a great movie. And then they realize that the gangster who gets played was Robert Shaw, who's was in Jaws. And they're like, that same guy that got eaten by Jaws.
What a run.
Yeah. Those are two great, you know, you're in Jaws and The Sting. Yes, Paul.
Did your parents do that with you? Because my mother gave me some movies that she said, you got to see this. It was like 12 Angry Men, which was a great movie. And it was well before my time. There was a movie called Rear Window with Grace Kelly and Jimmy Stewart,
Jimmy
right?
Stewart, yeah. That's a great movie.
I thought it was great, but I remember being like, had to be very, I was like 12 or 13. I remember I was like, this is slow. It's moving.
We didn't have any access to watching these movies. It wasn't like, hey, go down to Blockbuster. There was no Blockbuster. Or, hey, you can order that. There's a streaming service. There was nothing where you go, you got to watch this. If I went to a movie, I went to the drive-in where you weren't really going to the movie, or your parents might have taken you to see a movie. But those were always Disney movies. Like, I remember my mom took me to Sound of Music and Mary Poppins, really young. And I fell in love with Julie Andrews and still in love with her to this day. She just doesn't know it. Yes, Eden.
Animal House.
Oh.
Yeah. That was the movie that I watched probably too young.
Yeah.
But that was like mandatory. I had just about every word of that movie memorized by the time I was in, I don't even know how old I was.
Yeah. The scene when John Belushi's on the ladder is spectacular, where he's going around. He's when you're 12 or 13 and you're watching that, you're like, whoa, can I hit the pause button here?
Yeah.
That and when he goes through and he's just piling food onto his tray. Those are two of my favorites. Yes, Paul.
I mentioned this before, but I went back and looked. The movie Jaws was released. I just turned 6, and I went and saw Jaws at age 6.
Ooh!
I didn't want to go in a bathtub for the next month. I didn't go to above ground pools for a year.
Yes, Tom.
And remember, you'd have to be in line sometimes, like around the block when something just came out. That was the only way to see a Rocky or even Jaws or movies like that. If you wanted to see it when it first came out, you're going on a long line.
A couple of phone calls in here. Once again, tonight, Knicks at the Heat, Warriors at the Lakers. Gary in Texas joins us on the program. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Dan. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. Sorry about everything that's happened in Texas. Horrible, horrible, horrible this weekend.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm a big Suns fan, but I'm not a Denver hater. At one point, you know, Jokic wades up into the crowd. At what point is my – I'm sitting in my seat, and now he's in my area. And I don't think – and first of all, I don't think any of this was planned or – I think it was just heat of the moment, and I don't think anybody should be fined here. But, you know, I'm sitting in my seat, and you're twice the size of me, and you're in my seat. You know, I'm going to touch you. So I just like to have your thoughts on that, you know, because I paid for a seat and now you're in it.
Well, but you know what? The owner steps into Jokic. He doesn't. So when Joker gives him the push, forearm, and then he kind of falls back as if he's just taking a charge, he could have stayed there. He got back up and leans in to Jokic. Leans in. And that's going to cost him because he's holding the ball. And Joker wants it, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, this guy is kind of getting closer to me. Somebody puts their hand on him, and then he just gives that forearm or chicken wing to, like, get out of here. And then he falls down, and then he gets back up, and he goes in. He leans in to Jokic. Commissioner's got to go after him. And if the owner is, you know, innocent, then defuse it. He didn't try to defuse it. He could have just stayed down, put his hands up like that. You're the owner, okay? Act like an owner. You can't be doing that. Yeah, Marv.
Yeah, I hated the flopping. When he had his hands up, it was almost like, hey, everyone, did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see that? Did you see what I just did?
Yeah.
Or what he just did?
Yeah. I stood up to him.
So lame.
Yeah.
So lame, yeah. Dude.
I just stood up. I stood up to him. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, hey!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, more phone calls coming up. We'll take a break. We'll talk to the ESPN basketball reporter Frank Isola, who will join us coming up here. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of general tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. You can see their general tire test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be. The all-electric EQS sedan from Mercedes-Benz is luxury and innovation on a truly magnificent scale. It's not just the flagship of the Mercedes-Benz electric lineup. It sets a whole new standard for all luxury electric vehicles. You're going to marvel at this epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen featuring self-upgrading next-generation AI and a beautiful, intuitive interface for both driver and front seat passenger. You'll experience next-level comfort in an exquisite, spacious, near-silent cabin that makes this flagship feel more like you're piloting a spaceship. And you'll appreciate the graceful aerodynamic design that almost completely eliminates drag for an outstanding operating range of up to 350 miles on a single charge. The EQS is an object lesson in just how far electric mobility has come. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Take a test drive. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQS. I was wondering at the very end of the movie, Casino, Sharon Stone, Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci. And all of a sudden, Joe Pesci and his brother are taken out to a cornfield. And I thought, are they in Vegas? Outside of Vegas? Are there cornfields there? And just got an email from James in Las Vegas. And he said, casinos based on a true story. Joe Pesci, who he plays, called back to the Midwest by the bosses where he and his brother were killed, buried in a cornfield, then found by the farmer who owned that land. So that's along the lines of what you were talking about, Paulie.
That's one of those rewatchables where if it's on and you know, you're about to go outside like to run some errands and then you're in the middle of a casino, you're like, oh boy.
Yeah, I'm kind of fascinated with Sharon Stone in the movie. Did she get nominated? Did she win for that role in Casino? It felt like De Niro was playing De Niro. It's like, oh, I think I've seen Bob do that before.
But she was great in it, though.
Yes, she was.
She was.
Yes. Yeah, Paulie.
I think she may have been nominated for an Academy Award and a Golden Globe for that. I got her with two nominations.
Mm, but she didn't win for Casino.
No, she did not. Best Actress in a Leading Role, Sharon Stone.
Mm.
Nomination.
Is Frank Isola set to join us here? I think Fritzy's trying to secure him.
Any minute.
So we'll talk to Frankie Ice. He'll be joining us coming up.
Not his actual name.
I don't think, but Frankie Ice sounds like that would be his name. Frankie Ice. Hi, Frankie. How are you?
Use guys. You can say things like use guys.
You can say that because your wife's Italian, right?
Yeah. Well, that's just me doing my Jersey thing anyway. So
oh, okay.
I feel like I'm grandfathered in.
Yeah. So 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Tonight, Knicks Heat, Warriors against the Lakers. Ahmad in Miami. Hey, Ahmad, what's on your mind today?
How's everything, DP Show?
Good.
I got a double best of the weekend. First best is my Miami Heat taking down the New York Knicks. I told you it's the fake Mecca and they're frauds. Second best of the weekend is my Florida Panthers taking down the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're overtime. Cardiac catch. Drop the rest.
All right. Thank you, Ahmad. You had a good weekend.
That's a strong call right there. Strong call.
Yeah. In and out.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
To the point. That's it.
Fake Mecca.
Yeah, I know. Fake Mecca. It used to be the Mecca. Used to be. By the way, I watched baseball over the weekend. I watched some Dodgers and Padres, but I watched the Royals and the Oakland A's.
Oh, no.
I had to do it. I had to do it.
Nice and quiet.
So it was Sunday, and the Royals beat the A's. Both teams remain in single digits in the win column. The Royals are 9-26. The A's are 8-27.
Woo! Ow! Start of the day! Start of the day! Start of the day! Start of the day! This is the start of the day!
The Oakland A's are historically bad. They've been outscored by their opposition by 124 runs so far. This is the fewest wins the team has had this deep into the season, I believe, in baseball history. Yes, Paul?
They're actually better on the road than they are at home.
Well,
if they can be.
What does that mean?
They have five wins on the road,
three at home.
Technically better.
Baseball Sunday leadoff brings you Sunday morning action. Cleveland, as the Guardians host the Angels. Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, and company. That's next Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern, streaming exclusively on Peacock. He's Frank Isola, the Nets studio host, and you can see him on Around the Horn, and Pardon the Interruption, also SiriusXM NBA Radio. Frank, thanks for joining us. I'm going to make you the commissioner. What do you want to do, and what will you do with the owner and Joker in that little incident last night?
Technical foul on Matt Ishbia for flopping, who looks like a young Tom Izzo. I think he could play Tom Izzo, like a 35-year-old Tom Izzo, if they ever have a movie about Tom Izzo. So he looks like his former coach.
Right.
You know what? I would not be shocked if he gets suspended. I hope that he doesn't. I think the fact that Jokic went to grab for the ball first, Ishbia pulled it away, then Ishbia first touched Jokic, and Jokic is a big guy, just kind of put his arms up. There was no swinging involved. I hope that's not the case. It's interesting. I was watching last night, and when Monty Williams came on after the game, I was wondering if Monty was going to go down the Pat Riley route or Phil Jackson. Of course, Monty's first NBA coach was Pat Riley, and said something along the lines of, we can't have this in our sport. We have to protect the fans at all costs. I understand Nikola Jokic is a great player, but this is something the league has to look into. To Monty's credit, he just said, I didn't really see what happened.
Well, I wonder if there's enough there that the commissioner would suspend Joker. If this is regular season as opposed to now, would it be a different ruling for this? And if it was a true fan here, because I think the Joker doesn't know that that's the owner of the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. The couple of things, you know, it was in Phoenix with the Clippers in the first round where Russell Westbrook kind of cuts through. They go cut through a shortcut and there was a fan, a knucklehead yelled at Westbrook. He confronted the fan, you know, cursing, threatening the guy. He's got his kid right there. There was no suspension there. I also wonder, Dan, the fact that it isn't just a regular fan, maybe in this case it would help Jokic out, because why is Matt Ishbia taking the ball and, you know, ripping it away from Jokic to begin? I don't really think Matt Ishbia shouldn't have done that. I don't think it's a crime against humanity that he did it. To me, Jokic is still mostly in the wrong. But I thought the tone of it last night, I guess they're going to interview Jokic about it. I ultimately think he'll be available for game five. Let's hope that's the case, because you look at that game last night, those three guys, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Nikola Jokic, I mean, they're just at a different level offensively.
And how do you punish an owner?
Well, he did replace a guy that they essentially got rid of. I mean, I know he stepped down on his own, so I guess you can do it. But that's, here's the thing, Dan, and you know this, and you've talked to him a million times. What if that were Mark Cuban, who Jokic had pushed, and now the series is tied at 2-2? I would think, now Matt Ishbia may say something publicly, but I think he'd be well within his right to call up the league and say, hang on a second, I paid, what, $4 billion for this team? You're going to have a player treat me like that? He should not be available for game five in this series. So I'm sure there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, that's for sure.
See, I hold the owner more accountable than I do Joker.
In terms of?
I thought that Matt Ishbia, you know, escalated this. Like, you know, he held the ball, he flopped, he got back up, and then he leans into Jokic.
Yeah. No, I think ultimately the league will look at it that way. And Jokic, I thought his comments were pretty smart after the game. I think Michael Malone as well. I thought there was a chance that when the game ended, I understand Jokic is upset with the way that his team played down the stretch. Say, hey, he had the big turnover. I was wondering if he was going to make a beeline for Matt Ishbia and just kind of shake his hand. And I wonder if that would have diffused it even more.
Wow.
But you want to see all these guys out there, and they did set a bit of a precedent. So Draymond Green gets suspended for stomping on Sabonis, but in the release they mentioned they factor in
priors,
past transgressions.
Yep.
Nikola Jokic, he had something with Markieff Morris. What was that, last season or two seasons ago, when they got into it, but nothing over the top. So that will probably help Jokic as well.
I'm watching the 76ers and the Celtics, and I'm not sure if either team is really good. I think the Celtics can play really good, but then down the stretch, I'm just never quite sure. James Harden, I'm never quite sure. Embiid had a tentative 34 points, if that's possible. Yeah. But how do you kind of handicap that series between those two?
I know, it's strange. And the amazing thing, too, about Boston, and I think they have the most talent top to bottom out of any team. I thought that was the case entering the playoffs, certainly now as well, now that Milwaukee's gone. But, you know, Boston is 7-8 in their last 15 home playoff games. It's a little hard to believe. And they were in a similar situation last year when they went home for game five, tied 2-2 in the second round with Milwaukee, ended up losing game five. But then they had the great game six where Tatum went off. Then they won game seven. But I didn't understand Boston yesterday. So they're up 2. Jaylen Brown ends up doubling off of Harden. Today's NBA is now the MVP of the league has got an angle with Jason Tatum guarding him. He kicks it out to the three-point line. Harden is open, knocks down the shot. All right, so you messed up defensively. You're down 1. Why are they walking the ball up the court?
Yeah.
The idea now is to shoot with what? 5 or 6 seconds to go, 7 seconds to go, because if you miss and you don't get the rebound, now you can foul. You have 2 timeouts. You could extend the game. I get it. At the end of regulation, the game's tied. Marcus Smart takes the last shot. It's a wide open shot. No problem with that. They didn't even get a shot off in overtime. And they're only down 1 point with 2 timeouts. It made no sense the way that they played that.
But the odds to win the NBA title, according to DraftKings this morning, Celtics. Celtics are big favorites over the Lakers.
It's amazing, right? Really, for the first time, and I understand the Knicks are in a bad spot, but I mean, how often can you really look at all eight teams in the second round? And if things were to break right, and for some of the teams like the Knicks and the Heat, things would really have to break right for them to win. It feels like you can make a case for just about any team right now winning it all. And it's amazing with the Lakers, and give Darvin Ham, the head coach, a lot of credit, Rob Pelinka, the moves that he'd made. You know, they were a laughingstock at the start of the season. And now here they are on the verge, winning a home game of going up 3-1 in this series. Can you imagine if we end up with Lakers, Celtics in the NBA Finals? But I still think the Celtics are the best team. I still think they'll figure out a way to get this done.
And you know what's interesting is when teams play defense, we never talked about Golden State's defense. When they were winning those championships, they played great defense. They really did. And the Lakers played great defense, unbelievable defense. And I give a lot of credit to Darvin Ham, because guys don't want to play defense. You're almost, I have to encourage you to play defense. I never have to encourage anybody to play offense. But, you know, Vanderbilt seems to set the tone, and so does that head coach there. Can they continue to win with defense here in this
year? I think they can. If Anthony Davis stays healthy, and I know, understand his scoring is always up and down, but if you have Anthony Davis protecting the basket, and then you have a lot of inexperienced players, but LeBron James is like the middle linebacker on the team. He's standing there telling everyone what to do at all times. So despite the fact that a lot of guys aren't experienced in big games, having LeBron on the team is absolutely huge. But again, I think a lot of it will come down to how well Anthony Davis continues to play. What I also love about the Lakers, if you go back to that game that they played in Boston, remember when LeBron did get fouled by Jason Tatum and the referee didn't call it?
Yeah.
LeBron fell to his knees, and the big theme after the game was, oh, we don't get any calls. They led the league in free throw shooting. And even in that game, which it was a blowout, they took 20 more free throws than the Golden State Warriors. So they're really good at drawing fouls, getting to the free throw line, making shots. They seem to be in a pretty good position. But again, the Warriors were down 0-2 to Sacramento. They needed to go on the road and win a game 5, and then they won a game 7 on the road. So, and I guess it's 28 straight series where they've won at least one road playoff game. Tonight should be the night.
Frank Isola, the Nets studio host. You can see him on the Round the Horn. Pardon the interruption. Also, SiriusXM NBA Radio. LeBron talked about his son, Bronny, going to USC, and that he really wants to play at least one season with him. So you got this season, then you'll have next season, and then Bronny, I guess, will come out into the draft, and then he and LeBron will. How does that work? How do you think that they sync this up, that they play together?
I mean, we know that that's the father's dream, and his goal is to play with his son in the NBA, but I don't know. Is that the son's goal right away, just to leave college after 1 year? You know, he's going to school. Not many kids go to school with, I think it's a $6 million NIL deal that he has in total. I don't know. It's probably fun. Going to USC is probably a great time to begin with, much less being a star athlete, much less being a guy that's getting $6 million a year. So maybe Bronny's going to like the college life. Maybe he wants to stay 2 years, stay 3 years, which kind of pushes it down. Hey, he might not be making $6 million a year as an NBA player. He's certainly going to be making it as a college player. What if he wants to stay?
He's not staying for more than 1 year.
You never know.
No. This is so important to his dad.
Hang on a second. What if this year, and this has happened before, he wouldn't be the first highly touted high school player that struggles a little bit his first year in college. I hope that's not the case. But now the competition is going to be a little bit different. He's going to be playing in a really good conference. I'm sure, you know, because of his name, unfortunately for him, he's probably going to have a target on his back. So,
yeah, but it makes it easier then to sign with a team that your dad's on, because then he won't get drafted.
100%. If you're a GM of a team in the second round, would you maybe want to take
him? Yes, I would. Yes,
in the second round.
Yes,
because
I would.
Get his father.
Yes. And he's not even the best player in his recruiting class at USC, but he has gotten better, which is what, you know, anybody wants to see. You know, how much growth there potential is there, and it seems like he made a big leap this past year, but it seems like this is the last thing that LeBron wants is I'm sure he'd take another title in the process, but he wants to be able to play with his son.
Absolutely. And I thought it was really sweet when LeBron did say, you know, he kept saying that USC is getting a really good kid. And if you talk to I've spoken to a lot of scouts that have been to his games, and they talk about Bronny James being a really good teammate, how he's very unselfish. I mean, LeBron is like that too. He's a very unselfish teammate. So that is good to hear, because when you're growing up, I'm sure for all these, you know, kids of, you know, famous players, it can't be easy. And it seemed like the kid has handled everything really, really well.
Yeah, he has. And you're able to stay home and go to school.
Yeah,
Yeah.
And he can, so now he has the benefit of his, not only can his parents come to the game, he could still sit courtside at Laker games. It's a perfect scenario.
He's got it all. I brought this up last week, you know, because this isn't really a rivalry between LeBron and Steph or Golden State and the Lakers. I mean, there's no real heated rivalry there, but this feels like it's a legacy rivalry with LeBron and Steph of if one gets another title. So if Steph gets up to five, does that change the conversation of his place historically? Can he move past LeBron?
I don't believe so. I just think as an all-around player, it's just a little bit different. And I also think, you know, the fact that Kevin Durant went there for a couple years, it's funny. They were both born in Akron. They were both born in the same hospital.
Yeah.
So whoever wins the most should really be considered the real king of Akron. If LeBron just can't take that title.
I think that they aspire for a little bit bigger kingdom here than Akron, you know. Name the maternity ward after.
Exactly. There you go.
One of the guys there. All right. Great to talk to you, Frank. Thanks for joining us as always, buddy. Frank Isola, Nets studio host, also SiriusXM NBA Radio. You can see him on Around the Horn, and pardon the interruption. I love those legacy conversations because you don't, there's no finality to it. Like, hey, that's definitive. You won the argument there. It still comes back to, well, this guy did this or this guy did that. This guy had to move around. This guy needed Durant. This guy needed Wade. You know, it's just sort of this chess game sometimes. And you end up kind of just going, okay, we done here? Yeah. Next topic. Yeah, Marv.
Was there ever conversations like this going on in the 80s between like Magic and Bird? Like who was the best player of their generation?
Yeah. But once again, you didn't have many national radio shows. You didn't have social media. And it was probably more of something that you would read in the newspaper. Or you would have your own conversations about this. Because that was a big deal. You know, I remember when Bird was playing Magic in the national title game. And Indiana State was nowhere near what Michigan State was, talent-wise. I mean, Magic had, if you flipped him, Bird's winning the national title at Michigan State. What he did with Indiana State, and they had one player who got drafted, I think, third round, Carl Nix. But they were just a good team, and Bird was a great player. Magic played on a great team. Two first-round picks on there, Jay Vincent and Greg Kelser. But it started then of who's better. And then Magic is rookie year, you know, what he did. But Bird getting rookie of the year. So it was back and forth with that. And both played on unbelievable teams. And those players stayed on those teams too. You know, Parrish and McHale, DJ, Danny Ainge, they stayed on those teams. They added Bill Walton, who was sixth man of the year. The Lakers had all of that talent as well. They were clearly the two best players on the two best teams.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The superbly versatile all-electric EQB from Mercedes-Benz. It's impressively techy and surprisingly roomy with available seating for up to seven. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQB.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.